Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio. Here is Husker 24/7 senior writer Brian Christopherson.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of a circus act.
Brian Christopherson.
Well, I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Brian Christopherson.
I kind of enjoy that.
Here is Brian Christopherson.
I mean, they just want to see if the team can handle being in tough situations. And I think for us that the biggest thing is overcoming challenges. And I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I look at the cold as a challenge. So just being out there and fighting through it, that's something that builds toughness in us and changes our mindsets on how we look at things.
I was overcoming the challenge of not grabbing an Acres Ale out of the fridge yesterday. Got home from work. It was about 1 o'clock, and I'm like, do I? No, I didn't do it.
Well,
but
you've
I'll
been
tell
up
you.
Since 5. It probably felt
it
about
was,
right.
It was probably 5 o'clock somewhere, right? No, but I'll tell you about Acres Ale before we get to Brian Christopherson. Acres Ale is just that beer that I'm like, I'm not going to feel full afterward. It's crisp, it's light, it's refreshing, it's local. Even though they claim that they are the perfect beer to wind down at the end of your workday, my workday tends to wind down at noon, 1, restart at 7, 8. So it just didn't really match up time-wise for me, but maybe it did for you. If you're looking for a beer that's brewed with Nebraska corn, go grab an Acres Ale. Changing gears, we welcome in Brian Christopherson now to the show. BC, one of our faves, senior writer for Husker 24/7, at Husker 24/7 BC on Twitter. Brian, good morning. What's up, BC? Can you hear us?
Shane-o.
Oh. How about now? BC, you got us?
He may have just clicked something.
We heard his mic. Yeah. We heard his mic move.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, BC, we can hear you. Good morning. Can you hear us?
Shane? this is where we deflect. We have to deflect over to Shane at this moment. Can he see us?
I don't know, but these are the things that drive me bonkers because it's the same thing every week. So it shouldn't be that hard.
I laugh about it, man. I just got to smile about it.
That's why you're coffee and I'm green. It's different personalities.
You just got to smile a little bit more. Is something, especially after wearing masks for about 2 years.
Listen,
people don't smile enough.
You got one job to do.
Smile?
No. It's not it. It's not it at all.
Hey, we're having some fun right now, though. We're smiling back and forth. We'll get to BC here in a moment.
You can't speak that into existence. Like, who's we? I'm not having any fun because it cuts into the time we get a chance to have BC on.
Maybe it's a frustrated smile, but I see you grinning a little bit over there.
Because I'm thinking of the line.
Let's put a smile.
That's
on
exactly
that
what I was thinking.
Will you put a knife in your mouth?
Yeah. Why so serious?
Which is a fantastic movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Dark Knight.
Try him now.
BC, you got us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there he is.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know.
It wasn't your fault.
Technology and me aren't friends.
It's either your best friend or your worst enemy. There's no in-between.
Exactly.
BC, good morning. How are you?
I'm good now. I'm good now that I'm with you guys.
So we played the Jeff Sims cut about kind of dealing with tough situations and overcoming them. He used weather, which some people may kind of snicker and kiki at. I don't, because there's been plenty of guys to leave the state because they didn't like the weather, and that goes all the way back to the glory days. How important do you think that's going to be, or as one of those key benchmarks that this staff wants to address when they look at all those one-score games? Where does the ability to endure or hang in there rank for you?
Yeah, you got to have resilience, and it's something I do think you have to try to build up in the off season with all these little detail items that they've been putting in place. And I think that's where that culture part that sometimes we're like, yeah, but it means so much when it gets to the nitty gritty, and do you trust the person to the left and right of you? You get all these guys from all over the country. I mean, it's amazing, especially at a place like Nebraska. You know, there's programs where they might recruit mainly from two or three states, you know. And Nebraska, as you know, Damon, when you're playing, you got someone from California, you got the guy from Florida, New Jersey. Everybody has to come together and sort of understand each other. And the different, challenges that each guy faces in adjusting to his new situation, you know. And that's like Jeff Sims, that's a good example with the weather. It's like if you're a guy who's from South Dakota, you don't think twice about, you know, some of the stuff we went through in January when, but if you're Jeff Sims or some of these guys who have been in other parts of the country, it is a shot to the system, really, to get used to. But I kind of wandered away from your question probably. I think that is so key to, you have these little challenges that you got to overcome step by step each month. And they're doing it right now in the spring. And I think that's why you heard Rule the other day say, I want guys to relax out there a little bit and understand you are going to make mistakes, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes, actually. You have to be able to just accept that and not dwell in that world, but just work on correcting them and know that it's not all fixed like on a Tuesday in March. It's a process, and I think you got to keep preaching that to guys, because you could understand if you're a player over there right now, you're thinking, I got to impress this coach, I got to make my mark and all this stuff, and you could actually be pressing a little bit this time of year, whereas I think they're trying to get those guys to be even keel and say, we know that there's going to be ups and downs with this, and hopefully you're understanding that too.
Hey, so BC, could I make a correlation between, let's say, dealing with weather for one guy versus if I'm playing defense and I've just given up three consecutive first downs, right? Because what's happened is Nebraska hasn't had a cut stopper, right? So you need a guy or a mentality that says, okay, this is not comfortable for me. I overcame this. These three first downs consecutive doesn't mean that we have to allow them to score. Like, could we make some sort of correlation in terms of getting over the little things in, like, let's say a spring, and implant an example like a sudden change, defensive stop, yeah, returning them, or something like that? Are those chemicals processed the same, do you think, in the brain?
Oh, wow, man, you're above my pay grade. You probably know that better than I do. But
I'm curious because I think you could make the case.
Well,
like, I'm just gonna say to myself, I'm just gonna hang in there, just hang in there, mm-hmm, right? Is that like the basic response? Hey, hang in there.
Would you agree? First off, Damon, I always say this, and I feel like it's right. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it. But during the Frost era, I always felt like there could be a moment in a game, and it could happen with like 8:32 left in the second quarter, where something goes wrong, where a guy mishandles a punt, or there's that one play where there's a penalty where you were going to get off the field on third down on defense, but you didn't. And now the chains keep moving, and it ends up working out for the other side. And I felt with the program the last 5 years or so, I don't know what it was. It had to be a mental thing or something. That moment always stuck. Like, you couldn't get past it. You couldn't just say, okay, that was a bad deal, but there's 2.5 quarters
flush
left.
It.
It was like everybody in the stadium in a lot of these games sort of knew, okay, we're going to be talking about that on Monday, you know. So I know it's kind of working back to what you're saying. You do have to somehow throughout these 6-7 months build up that mentality where, no, that's not the story today. Like, even if it's a Thursday practice, you know, and I completely biffed up the second of 20 stations we're doing for the day, or whatever you want to call it, that's not the defining point of this day. And I felt like that was what Rule was maybe trying to get across in their approach, yesterday when he was talking about just like, chill out a little bit, you know, with the, I know everybody wants to impress and all this stuff, but you do have to relax and not put all this pressure on you every single play and just allow yourself to develop, you know, naturally through what we're teaching you. And I think for the most part, I think bringing it back to yesterday, I think he was happy because Tuesday, he knew that could be one of the worst practices of the spring. He said the second week is always really tough. The adrenaline goes out the door a little bit.
Sore.
Yeah. And you had that Saturday one that was such a big deal around here where there's a lot of eyeballs on it. Then you take a couple days off. And I think they were really on, guys, like, just keep going through this process every day. It's going to be worth it for you. Now it's about chopping wood, and we're going to see who can do it the most consistent.
You know, we started with Jeff Sims, and we talked a little bit about Casey Thompson, too, in our earlier segments, BC. And we didn't count out Casey in this quarterback race, but for the longest time, we did put Jeff Sims ahead of him because he was healthy and because he was rules guy. How much did watching Casey yesterday reignite the conversation of quarterback competition for you? Because for me, seeing everybody get reps every practice was my first clue that, hey, it's still anyone's job. And two, everything that embodies Casey, his leadership skills, knowing your body, those are just a couple of attributes that I know for sure I want out of my quarterback.
I think, Andrew, I think just seeing him over there, you know, when they're in the line even doing their footwork drills and he's right next to Jeff Sims and you can see how diligent he is about his craft. It is a good reminder to everybody, like he's not gone anywhere, you know, like he's going to have a say in this fight. And I do think we're in that type of season, and I understand it because we got to fill the space with words where we want to say, well, who's it going to be? Who's your pick? You know, what's it? 53-47, this guy, you know, like you have a prediction and stuff like that. And I take part in that myself sometimes, but I think it is good to, you know, a day like yesterday, you see them both out there and you hear Matt Rhule talk about Casey and just the way, you know, he's so good in the film room. Like he's a guy who is kind of like a coach, even though he's not playing. And I think we would be silly to just say he doesn't have a as good a shot as anybody right now. And I know Sims, yes, he maybe gets the advantage of going through the actual real reps of spring ball. And they do like Jeff Sims a lot. Whenever you hear Rhule talk about him, the word dynamic sort of comes up and what they think he can do if he can kind of curb the turnovers. But yeah, Casey, he's been through it too, man. I mean, he at Texas, he thought he was the guy, and then there's a change, and he gets demoted there. Probably, I don't know if he even should have. You know, he's waited his turn, and whenever he's had his turn, he's usually performed pretty well. And I thought he performed pretty well last year, actually, given the circumstances around him. So, I think your question's a good one, just to like keep putting the public conversation, like, hey, this is a QB battle I think we're gonna have, and let's not act like we know for sure which way it's gonna go right now.
How interesting was it? I'm just listening to you guys, and I look at the guys that spoke yesterday. Obviously Coach Rhule, Jeff Sims is the new guy that I think people gravitate towards, right? Natural leader. Then there's Ramir and Turner, right? Turner off maligned, came out highly touted. People want more, gets a fresh start. He's got his O-line coach back. But he's a spokesman yesterday. Ramir. People wondered what happened last year. Nobody really gave any great answers last year. And even Ramir handled it like a pro yesterday without revisiting yesteryear and keeping the rearview mirror focused on oncoming traffic. Is that not a microcosm of what you think has to happen this year for Nebraska to achieve their goals? A little old, a little new, a little redemption story. Like, it just seems like yesterday was kind of, man, there's nothing more Nebraska than what we're seeing with these guys and what they were saying yesterday.
Yeah, that's good when you think about it that way, Damon. The three guys that were up there. You got the new flavor in Sims, and then you got Ramir. And Ramir,
I love
Ramir.
Me too.
He's an understated guy who has been doubted quite a few times here. People forget. I mean, in 21, before he burst on the scene, we were not talking about him on shows like this at this time in 21. Yeah. He was like the fifth running back, remember?
Yeah.
And he was the fifth running back in like August. And by that Oklahoma game that year, it's like, okay, this dude can play a little bit. And he's tough. Like, I remember the thing thinking about Ramir was his first time he was really getting the football at Norman, Oklahoma, was he's running between the tackles with a little vinegar. I like this guy a little bit. And then you'd see him out of the backfield catching passes. And then, of course, there's the mystery of last season. And you're right, Damon, nobody ever really put words to it. Nobody that was an authority person. And then Ramir, of course, wasn't really, available to talk about it. But I did love the fact that he knew the question was going to come up, and it was a fair question to ask. I'm not beefing on anybody for asking it. It's what needed. Yeah. You know, here you go. What do you have to say about what happened? And a lot of us, maybe me, would not have handled that as classy as he did. And just said, you know what? You really can't go back. So what good is that going to do me? I like this staff. I'm here right now. And I know that Ramir, if you did a Q poll, a Q rating on like guys on the team, he would do very well with this fan base because of just like he just keeps showing up no matter what happens.
And it's almost like last year he Jedi mind tricked the fan base that like he wasn't that good. Right. Because I started to hear like my sphere of influence. Well, you know, maybe he's just not. And it was only 700 yards last year and he's small. And then the drop on the tough play last year. And people were like, see, and I'm like, man, I don't know, guys, like you watch him. He needs the fewest things to be perfect around him in order for him to function. I'm probably going to gravitate towards that guy. But that's just me, right? Like, he could have been kicking himself over taking one for the team last year and moving. Do you remember the preseason, BC? Oh, Ramir's out here, and he's had a good summer, and we can throw him the ball, and he's a third down guy. And, like, they really had Ramir thinking it was going to be this. And then, like, he didn't get to run the ball. Like, there was a stretch there where he wasn't feeling very good about the decisions he made for the greater good either. Like, it wore on him.
Yeah. I mean, life is crazy like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Coach Whipple was talking last year about him, like Brian Westbrook. He said that name several times as like not that he was Brian Westbrook, but he's got traits and we can use him in that sort of way. Maybe he's a guy who only touches it 8 to 10 times. Ramir was totally fine with that. You know, he wasn't a guy who needs the ball 22 times a game. But yeah, to his credit, you know, he didn't go there yesterday and he could have easily, and he kept it moving. And I think there's an energy he feels from this staff, and he knows EJ Barthel back from his recruiting days. They're from the same area. And that could be a nice little combination. I think somehow, some way, Ramir's got to matter on this football team. I don't know. I'm not saying he's got to be RB1.
Yeah.
But he's got to be like one of those guys where you're like every Saturday, oh, yeah, Ramir's going to give you a little something. And that's what you need on this team. And then, you know, the other guy who's up there, Turner Corcoran, he's a guy who was one of the highest rated recruits that ever came into Nebraska. And he's another guy who has dealt with things that haven't been ideal circumstances. And I give him credit because he doesn't make a big deal about it. He's been position flipped outside and inside in season two different times before his first in 2020. He just played in that Rutgers, that weird game in December. Remember at left tackle.
Yeah.
And we all acted like he had sort of arrived, you know. He played in this one game, and you sort of forget, like, this guy has very little college experience, and then he didn't get a camp at all because he was injured leading into 21. And ever since then, it's been sort of this weird combination of things, and the Prochazka injury has sort of forced him in and out. And so I'd love to see that guy. I don't care where it's at, just that he lands at a spot and can stick at a spot and hopefully be that guy for a full season with good health. And I'd like to see what that looks like, because I don't think we've had an opportunity to see what Turner can really do when all the things sort of fall in place as you would hope.
BC, speaking of linemen, and DB, speaking of Jedis, I remember giving our Super 6 rankings, and after I asked you, BC, about Gunnar Gatula being at the top of my list, and the advice you gave me was, have patience, young Andrew. Like, those were the words that you used, and I remember that still to this day because you sounded like Master Yoda in that moment.
Okay.
Anyway, Coach Rhule paid him a pretty nice compliment yesterday. Do you think the biggest benefit for him in his first spring is the fact that he's just healthy in a smaller group of linemen? Or is there something about his character, his coachability, that stands out to you more?
Probably all of it. I mean, he gets a ton of reps right now with, you know, I don't want to say limited linemen. Rhule kind of downplayed that storyline. He said, you guys are all used to having 200 people on your roster over here. And
I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I'm good with 12.
Yeah.
What?
He's like that's pretty normal to me, the number of linemen he has right now. But yes, help is on the way with that class that people is pretty excited about. But Gatula sort of gets that little edge of he's just picking up a lot of reps right now. And I think the biggest thing you heard from the coach the other day was he's not overwhelmed. And that doesn't shock me because, you know, he's from a coach family. Grew up around the game, and those guys just always seem to be a few years ahead of the curve on things. But yeah, I was watching him in a couple drills the other day, and just, you know, off to the side, sort of not pad popping drills, but you're like, I like the way that guy moves for his size. And, you know, that's a position where if he can, he doesn't have to be on the field this year. There's not that pressure, but if he can be that guy behind the scenes that just, he keeps coming to work every day and there's that steady climb, next spring or so, maybe we're having a different conversation even about him. I don't want to write him off completely. You never know if a guy could play his first year, I guess, but I feel like if he just keeps on that path, we'll hear from him sooner than later. And that was probably a good Super 6 pick by you. And going back to that, it's just like, yeah, have patience with those linemen. Sometimes even the guys who are doing it really well, like Gatula is right now, maybe they're not going to play this year, but we'll hear from them at some point, and they're going to matter the most of all.
BC, let me get you out of here on this, because you're around it and you can hear the questions and the context. Is it just me, or is Bonner coming up unsolicited, or is he being asked about?
No, he's been asked about once maybe, but he's come up a few other times with just the coaches. And he's used as an example of the position flexing that's going on where you're moving guys around a little bit. But they believe he's really taken to it. And I think they're very satisfied. It's only 5 days into that. But I think they're like, yep, that's a move that seems to be tracking as you sort of imagine it.
Yeah, I watched AJ Rollins playing a four-tech on defense.
What'd you think?
I liked him out of high school. Like, I like him, but if those guys can be interchangeable and do different things, dude, their personnel groupings could be tough. Like, Rollins is pretty good on offense too. And he was getting good defensive reps.
You liked him as a defender more coming out of high school?
No. I liked him as a tight end. Yep. Okay. That good on them, because I didn't see him as an interior lineman either.
Thanks, BC. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, B.
AK up next.